بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, the very first campaign that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam launched against the enemy of Islam when they drove him out of Makkatul Mukarramah and when they drove out the entire Muslim community from Makkatul Mukarramah, upon his arrival in Madinatul Munawwarah, the very first campaign Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam launched against the enemy was in the form of a series of military expeditions that targeted the economic might and the economic power of the enemy. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he personally did not take part in the first few such expeditions that took place, but he encouraged the Sahaba, and in fact, he was responsible for putting together a force, a squad, a unit of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'een. Whenever he heard that there was an opportunity to intercept a trade caravan, whenever there was an opportunity to attack a trade caravan, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would immediately dispatch a unit of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'een with the purpose and the intention and the objective of striking the economic supply chain of the enemy and attacking their economic strength, thereby leading to weakness in their military capacity. The first such expedition took place 7 months after the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A squad of 50 muhajirin was dispatched by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were under the leadership of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and they were sent to intercept a trade caravan of the enemy, which consisted 300 travelers, and they were returning from Syria under the commandship of Abu Jahl. 8 months after Hijrah, the next month, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he dispatched a second contingent of approximately 80 muhajirin. They were under the leadership of Ubaidah bin Harith radiallahu ta'ala, who had the same objective and with the same purpose, to intercept a trade caravan which was under the leadership of Abu Sufyan, another leader amongst the enemy who later embraced Islam. In the first year of Hijrah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent a unit. It was comprising of 20 muhajirin, and they were under the command of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to intercept a third trade caravan of the Quraysh. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would look for every opportunity that presented itself in order for him to strike the economic power of the enemy. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam initially in Al-Madinah Munawwarah, he placed much emphasis upon the economic warfare. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would encourage the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'een to participate and to engage in every such campaign that targeted the economic might of the enemy and that disrupted the economic supply of the enemy. In the second year of Hijrah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, he participated in the first offensive strike that he carried out against the enemy. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took 60 muhajirin with him and they set out for Abwa to launch an offensive against the fourth trade caravan belonging to the Quraysh. In that same year, during the month of Rabiul Awwal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was informed through divine wahi and revelation of a trade caravan of the Quraysh, which was heading towards Makkatul Mukarramah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again, he set out with 200 of the mujahideen. And the purpose of this expedition, like every other preceding expedition, was to launch an attack against the trade caravan and to strike the economic supply of the enemy. This attack was followed by the expedition of Ushayrah with the same objective of disrupting the economic system of the enemy. And then finally in Ramadan that same year, the expedition of Badr took place. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we know, He learned of the trade caravan that was under the command of Abu Sufyan and that was laden with commercial merchandise and other goods. And the trade caravans of the bygone ages can be compared to the large vessels that we have today. Those large ships that we have today that transport commercial goods and that transport merchandise from one part of the world to other part of the world. These vessels and these trade ships that we have are crucial to the global economy. And these trade caravans in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were just as crucial. They were just as significant to the enemy as far as trade and commerce and the economic strength of the enemy was concerned. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we said earlier, he emphasized the importance of economic warfare, just as he emphasized the importance of the psychological warfare. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he encouraged the Sahaba who had the ability to participate in the psychological war. He encouraged them to participate in the psychological war. The battle for the minds. We know what is happening on social media platforms as the physical battle is taking place, or the genocide that is unfolding before our eyes. While that genocide is taking place, we are very well aware of the psychological war that is taking place on social media platforms. There's a war that is raging out there. The psychological war, the war for the minds, the battle for the minds. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he identified Hassan ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu as a suitable candidate to attack the Quraysh when it came to the psychological warfare. He was not one to physically participate in any battle, but the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam identified within him that he had the eloquence, he had the ability, and he had the language to attack them psychologically. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the words that he used when he encouraged Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu to participate in the psychological war, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, "Uhju Quraishan, O Hassan bin Thabit, you attack them, silence them through your words, through your poetry, through your eloquence, you should attack them." So while we have the opportunity, we should also use that to our advantage, silence them, attack them, post things that will persuade the minds of people, because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had placed much importance to that battle as well, the psychological battle. So you have the physical battle that is taking place, or the genocide that is unfolding, and the heart's desire and wish to be part of that jihad that is taking place against the enemy. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged every one of us to have the desire for martyrdom in our hearts. We should have the desire for martyrdom, shahada fi sabilillah. A believer is not considered a believer if he does not have that desire in his heart to aspire for it, to want it, not to hope to meet the enemy. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we should never make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you wish to encounter the enemy. Ask Allah for afiyah. But when the opportunity arises, the desire to be part of it should prevail within the heart. In fact, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I fear that if you die and you depart from this world without having the desire for shahada fi sabilillah, martyrdom in the way of Allah, I fear you have died upon Judaism or Christianity. Because they never had the desire for jihad fi sabilillah. When Musa alayhi salam provided them with the opportunity to participate in jihad, what did they say? اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَ إِنَّهَا هُنَا قَاعِدُونَ. We have absolutely no desire to encounter the enemy. Opportunity is there for shahada. They have absolutely no desire. That's why Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, you die a Jew. Because the Jew had no desire in his heart to participate in jihad fi sabilillah. So while the desire is there, we always ask the question, 2 years have passed, almost 2 years, what more can we do? How can we help? How can we assist? Besides the physical battle that is taking place, there's the psychological war that's taking place on social media platforms. There is that battle that is raging. Let us educate ourselves and let us participate in that jihad as well. That is a form of jihad. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Hassan bin Thabit, "Uhju Quraishan, attack the Quraysh. Through your words, through your poetry, attack them. فَإِنَّهُ أَشَدُّ عَلَيْهَا مِنْ رَشْقٍ بِالنَّبْلِ. Your words, your poetry, what you post, what you say it hurts them more than the pain that they experience through your weapons. So our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has encouraged us, brothers, to react to the pain of the ummah. The famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as we see, it only gets worse and worse. And people are trying to react through different ways. We know of the sumud initiative that is undertaken by thousands around the world, because they feel the need for them to react and to do something and to move. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us over and above dua, which is the most important thing that we can do. He encouraged us to do amal. A'inni ala nafsika bi kathrati sujood. Over and above the dua, there is something that we should do practically. So, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he encouraged us to react to the pain, to react to the injustice inflicted upon one part of the ummah. So we said dua is the most powerful weapon that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. And that is something we should never stop doing, is making dua. Through your dua, you should have conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow relief to be granted to even one person in that part of the world who is suffering. You do not have to know the outcome of dua. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala would often say that I do not have control over the outcome of the dua, but I have the ability to make the dua. That is within my ability. That is within my capacity. The outcome, you might never know what is the outcome of your dua, but wallahi, there is an outcome. Perhaps someone experiences some form of relief through the dua that you made. You do not have to know. You do not have to see it. But you should never doubt the power of dua, because the moment you doubt the power of dua, you are actually doubting the power of Allah. So that is undoubtedly one thing we all can do. What else can we do? We spoke about the psychological warfare. Those who have the ability, our teenagers, our youngsters, who are fully aware of the battle that is raging on social media platforms, the psychological warfare, educate ourselves and see how we can contribute towards that jihad that is taking place, and how we can persuade the minds and bring about an awareness regarding the injustices that are carried out against our people. When you have the opportunity to speak, you should speak, whether there is an outcome or not. Why? Ma'ziratan ila rabbikum. Tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, there is an excuse that, oh Allah, I had the opportunity to say something, I did not remain silent. مَنْ رَعَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرُهُ بِيَدِي فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِي فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِي. Whether the munkar is changed or not, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when you see munkar, when you see evil, when you see injustice, when you see oppression, when you see wrong that is taking place, and you have the ability to act, you should act. You must act. Whether your action, whether the word that you spoke, the action that you have taken, the initiative that you had started, whether it has the desired outcome or not, that is beyond your control. But you are required to make most of the process. Allah does not look at the outcome. Outcome is in the control of Allah. Allah looks at the process. Allah looks at the process. What did you do with the process? So if the opportunity is there, you come across a post on social media, and you know you can speak out against it, and you can defend, or you can nullify, and you can speak out against what is posted or what is said, then it is our duty and responsibility to do so. That we have the ability to do. That we can do. That is within our control. We should. فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to use whatever means we have within our ability to bring about change. Change is in the hand of Allah, but the process, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you control over that. One way of participating in the economic warfare. We spoke about the importance of the economic warfare. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he arrived in Medina to Munawwara, the very first campaign that he launched against the enemy was in the form of a series of battles that targeted the economic supply of the enemy. And one very effective economic warfare or economic battle that we need to engage in is in the form of the modern day economic warfare, and that is boycotting. Boycotting is something that we all have the ability to do. It's within our control. Every one of us has the ability to do something. Now again, you might ask the question, what's the point? When I look at those around me, everyone is consuming the product, everyone is using it, everyone is wearing that item, everyone else seems to be engaged in it, using it, procuring it, selling it, supplying it, using it. What difference is it going to make? Again, whether it makes a difference or not, it's religious sensibility, it's human conscience. Human conscience, it's just that religious sensibility within you that how can I allow a company who is complicit in the genocide that is taking place, how can I allow that company to benefit from my wealth? Whether it makes a difference or not, whether it affects them economically or not, whether it disrupts the economic supply or not, it's human conscience and it's religious sensibility. It's something that I can do. It is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me the ability to do. مَعْذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. On the day of Qiyamah, I can present that as an argument or as an excuse before Allah. Oh Allah, this is a product that I really wanted to use. This is an item that I really wished to procure or something that I really needed to sell. But I realized that the manufacturer has established a plant on stolen Palestinian land, and as a result of Allah, I have abandoned this and I have boycotted it. My contribution. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَاعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَاسْتَطَعْتُمْ وَاعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَاسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, prepare against them. Strategize against them. Whatever means of strategy and whatever preparation you can do. Whatever is within your capacity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never take you to task to that which is beyond your capacity. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Yes, there is a product and you really need the product and you cannot do without the product. And there's no other way you can secure a similar product and you really are in need of it. It's a necessity. Then that is beyond your capacity. But something that is a luxury or something that can be replaced with an alternative, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us, or we can actually consider it a religious duty to boycott and to abandon the usage of such products that are manufactured by companies that are complicit, absolutely complicit in the genocide that is unfolding before us and that is taking place. Also in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَطَعُونَ مَوْطِئًا يَغِيظُ الْكُفَّارِ وَلَا يَنَالُونَ مِنْ عَدُوٍ نَيْلًا إِلَّا كُتِبَ لَهُمْ بِهِ عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they, the believers, they tread on territory. They tread on territory unnerving the disbelievers. That is the objective and that is the purpose. Even if it does not affect the economic supply, it does not affect them economically, it does not make a difference to them. One we said is you do it, why? Out of religious sensibility, human conscience. Your conscience does not allow you to use that product knowing that the company is complicit in the genocide that is taking place. Number two, to damage the reputation. Reputational damage through boycotting, creating the awareness. There is reputational damage to the company, to the manufacturer, to the producer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, لا يطعون موطئا يغيظ الكفار ولا ينالون من عدو نيلا. The believers, they do not inflict any loss on the enemy. Any loss on the enemy. Whatever loss you afflict on the enemy, whether it is economic loss, whether it is reputational damage that you are causing them, whatever loss you can inflict upon them, you must do so. When you do so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا كُتِبَ لَهُمْ بِهِ عَمَلٌ صَالِحٌ. It is written to their credit as a good deed. And the perfect example we have from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first member of this ummah who had boycotted the enemy because of the harm and because of the pain that they inflicted upon the Muslims in Madinatul Munawwara, is Thumamah ibn Uthal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Thumamah ibn Uthal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a very prominent leader of the Banu Hanifa clan. A very respectable, a very well positioned tribe in the Arabian Peninsula. Thumamah ibn Uthal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he was no ordinary man. He was perhaps the most powerful man in the entire Hijaz. In the entire land of Hijaz, why? He was Malikul Yamama. He was the king of Al-Yamama. Al-Yamama was very centrally and strategically located. Up to this day, the region of Yamama covers the area of Riyadh, moving towards north. It covers the area of Ha'il and Qasim. That entire area, that is central Saudi Arabia. That is central Hijaz. He is the king of Al-Yamama. He is the king of that entire region, which means he controls the economic routes. He controls all the trade routes, all the merchandise, and all the trade caravans. And we spoke about the significance of the trade caravans in those days and how crucial it was to the economy of every region in that part of the world. And they relied, in the land of Hijaz, they relied upon trade. Now you have this man, powerful man, Thumamah ibn Uthal. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the missions that he had sent the Sahaba upon were letters that he sent to the different dynasties, empires, kings in different parts of the world, in the land of Hijaz and beyond the land of Hijaz. He sent a letter to Thumamah, who was not a Muslim at the time, Malikul Yamama, the king of Yamama. He sends a letter to him inviting him to Islam. What does Thumamah do? Thumamah kills the emissary of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's a declaration of war. Thumamah knows no one can tell him what to do. He is the most powerful man in Hijaz. Let's fast forward to the sixth of years after Hijrah. There is a unit who of Sahaba, they are sent on a certain mission by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unexpectedly, they come across Thumamah. They do not know who he is. He is on his way to Makkah al-Mukarramah to perform the Umrah. They would perform Umrah even in their state of Kufr, different to the Umrah that we observe. But he is going to Makkah al-Mukarramah to perform the Umrah. He is captured by the Sahaba. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'in capture him, not knowing who he is, and they bring him to Al-Madinah al-Munawwarah. When he's brought to Al-Madinah al-Munawwarah, Thumamah is fastened to a pillar in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walks out of his apartment, and lo and behold, he sees Thumamah, the king of Yamama, the most powerful man in the entire Hijaz, in the entire region, politically, economically. He is fastened to a pillar of the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is surprised. He says to the Sahaba, أَتَدْرُونَ مَنْ أَخَذْتُمْ. Do you know who you have captured? They have no idea who he is. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, هَذَا ثُمَامَةُ بْنُ أُثَالِ مَلِكُ الْيَمَامَةِ. This is Thumamah, the king of Yamama whom you have captured. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, treat him in the best way. He sends a message to his home that send the best of food to Thumamah. We will treat him in the best possible way. And during those 3 days, while he is fastened to the pillar, there are interactions that take place between him and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the third day, a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs the Sahaba, untie Thumamah, release him. And Sahaba surprised, that is it? Thumamah, the man who killed the emissary and the message bearer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who declared war upon the believers, is released. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives the instructions, they comply. Thumamah, he leaves the masjid, he takes a bath, he comes back in with clean clothes, and he pronounces the shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. He takes shahada. And now he tells the Nabi of Allah, I still want to proceed to Makkah al-Mukarramah to perform the Umrah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches him how to perform the Umrah. Thumamah radiallahu ta'ala is the first man of this ummah to perform Umrah. Even before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the first man in the state of Islam to perform Umrah in this ummah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches him the talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs him to proceed toward Makkah al-Mukarramah to do the Umrah. He is making tawaf of Baytullah. Thumama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He is making tawaf of Baytullah and loudly he proclaims the talbiyah, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. And he is performing Umrah the way the Muslims do, and the people of Mecca are surprised and they are shocked. Who is this man who dares come to Mecca to Mukarramah and pronounce the talbiyah, pronounce belief in one Allah? Who is this Muslim who dares openly challenge us this way? And they draw their arms and they are about to attack the man, and they realize it is Thumama. One of the youngsters, he is about to release an arrow and shoot Thumama. The others tell him, the elders and the seniors say, you don't dare shoot an arrow in his direction. That is Thumama, Malikul Yamama. They know who he is. He's the most powerful man in the Hijaz. Don't you dare shoot an arrow in his direction. They come before Thumama. Ya Thumama hal sabawt? Oh Thumama, have you become an apostate? Have you left the religion of the forefathers? He says, ma sabawtu walakinni aslamt. I have not become an apostate, but I have embraced Islam. And he then threatens them. He says, wallahi, if you will not surrender to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not a single product, not a single merchandise will come to you from the land of Yamama. He threatens them. Boycotting. Economic embargo. And true to his word, he goes back to the region of Al-Yamama and he gives them the instruction that no merchandise, no food, no grain, no supply will pass through the region towards Makkatul Mukarramah. As a result, they suffer. The people of Makkatul Mukarramah suffered as a result of the boycott of the economic embargo that was placed on them by Thumama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to the point and to the extent where they had no food in their homes. And Thumama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, understand, he is also taking a knock and he is also suffering economically. But he is doing it as his religious and moral duty. How can I bring comfort to a people who brings discomfort to my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He was the first man who had imposed an economic embargo on the people of Mecca, the enemy. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, eventually, the people of Mecca were going through suffering as a result. They came and met with the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or they wrote a letter to him. And then the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent an instruction to Thumama that you may now lift the economic embargo and you may stop the economic boycott. It is our moral and religious duty. How can I allow a company that is complicit in the genocide that is taking place, how can I allow that company to benefit from my wealth in whichever way? It is our moral and religious duty to ensure that we are part of the economic warfare, the modern day economic warfare in the form of boycotting. We in South Africa, we are beneficiaries of the anti-apartheid strategy that was used. Boycotting was a very effective anti-apartheid strategy that was used. British in the UK, ordinary citizens in the UK, they exerted pressure on grocery stores, and they exerted pressure on supermarkets in the UK not to supply and not to stock any South African products. In the mid-1980s, 1 in 4 British citizens were boycotting South African products. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability and the capacity to act. And we cannot sit back and enjoy those products while children are being starved, Allahu Akbar, in that part of the world. Starved to the point where they wish for death over life. How can we enjoy certain products? How can we consume those products? How can we wear those items of clothing? With no religious sensibility, no conscience, knowing that it was produced and manufactured by a company that is complicit in the genocide that is taking place. Like we said, there are much that we can do. And the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has demanded from us that we react. And the greatest reaction is that of dua and amal. But also Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam placed a lot of emphasis on the economic warfare. And you and I, we have we have a responsibility to ensure that we are fulfilling this demand of boycotting any such company, any such product. Again, like I said, whether it makes a difference or not, the outcome is in Allah's control, but Allah has given you the process. Allah sees what you do with the process. And that we have the ability to act upon, to ensure that we can fulfill this responsibility of boycotting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.